Hello, this is Kevin Doherty, your host for Just Thinking. I'm the Chief Strategy Officer for 806 Technologies, and today I have an incredibly special guest. I know I say that a lot, but this man is incredible. He is a true road warrior. I met him out on the road when I was working for the company before 806, and I just saw a person with incredible energy and spirit and just love of people and love of helping people and supporting them. So before I say too much about him or make his head too big for the screen, I'm going to hand it over now to my good friend, Coach Joe Marino. Tell us about yourself, Joe.
Hey, Kevin, how are you? Thank you so much for having me out here. I'm Coach Joe Marino. I'm a former educator, former high school coach in multiple sports. Currently, I am an educational consultant for Bright Thinker. We do K-12 digital and print curriculum all over the United States. My goal in life is basically, I have a minor health condition. So it's, you know, you're going to see during this conversation and people who are listening are going to hear it. I'm an Italian guy from Jersey. I get very high strung, good or bad. I don't know if you noticed so far.
I didn't notice it. I'm so glad you told me that. I hadn't noticed that before. Thank you.
You're going to hear some of the words. You're going to have to whip out your English to Italian dictionary. You know, when I say coffee, water, talking, you know, but, high strung no matter what, and it led to some heart issues. So it was very hard for me to teach, and it was very hard for me to keep coaching without, you know, kind of suffering a little bit health-wise. So found a different way to go about helping teachers and students, and that's finding the right fit. There are too many guys. Look, some of you are going to listen to this on Spotify, but if you're looking at me and Kevin right now, you're going to see I look like a used car salesman from Jersey. I do. And that's what a lot of people do. I got the chain. I got the beard. How you doing? You know, you got all this stuff. And these people come in and all they're worried about is sell, sell, sell. They're not worried about a fit. They're not educators. But guys like me and you, Kevin, and you even went a little farther than me. You were an admin. You were from top down seeing the whole thing, the whole picture. And when you're a head coach, it's kind of like being a principal, right? You're seeing from the top down. I felt that there wasn't enough people out there making sure the right product. And I've been approached by multiple companies, but I'm a straight shooter. I don't look at someone who goes, this is garbage. I can't sell this. I can't do that disjustice for the kids or for the teachers, because teachers are flying out. You know, they're leaving at a rapid pace because they just can't keep up anymore. Everything's their fault. If a kid doesn't do their homework, it's a teacher's fault. It's a whole, that's a whole conversation for another day. We're in a whole other world. But the thing that I wanted to do was get the right tools in front of them. Yep. And if it's not a fit, because I'm Italian from Jersey, I got a guy, you know? So if my stuff doesn't work, like they'll say, oh, I need something that actually gives a transcript. So that means you need a school, right? I'm a curriculum. You need a school that's attached to a curriculum. Okay, I'm going to send you over to BYU Independent Study because you can get the transcript. I trust them, you know, and there's other schools that do that, but I don't trust them, right? Because it's always your word. And I take a lot of pride in that. And I'm sure I just gave a big explanation of who you are, and I'm sorry, but me and you have had conversations. And even before we warmed up here, we went on for 15 minutes that probably could have made its own little thing, you know? But
always.
That's me.
Well, you touched on something about the, you know, the mass exodus of teaching. And I'm the father of one of those individuals. Our daughter, after teaching 8 years, left the field of teaching. I think she may eventually come back. Maybe not find that the grass is greener, but I think she needed to do that at that time, because all the things that you described were things that she was feeling. And she's reaching out to her mom, my wife, who's a former teacher, 15, 16 years, and myself, teacher and principal, and just, hey, what should I do? And, you know, if she was at that point, I think it was time to try something different and kind of see where it goes from there. But no, not at all. I'm so glad you shared all that. And, you know, one of the focuses of today's conversation is about doing whatever it takes, because Joe, we have known each other for several years. I've watched you grow and flourish in your role with Bright Thinker, and I've seen you at conferences. I've seen you work with people. I see you connect people. I see you, you know, bring, hey, Kev, I want you to meet so-and-so. Hey, have you met Kevin? You need to meet this guy. and you're constantly connecting people. I like to do the same thing, but man, you got a notch up on me with that. But part of that is all about doing whatever it takes to help serve people. And so that's what I see in you, is you're willing to do whatever it takes. I think it's part of the secret to your success. So would you mind talking a little bit about what it is that drives you to just do whatever it takes to help and support people in your role? I imagine you do it even outside of your work role.
Sure. You have to go back to how I got here then. So when I became a teacher, I taught for almost 9, maybe 10 years, and I was suffering from these little heart incidents, right? You don't like to say heart attacks, but they're kind of like a heart attack. They're not panic attacks or anything. It turns out I have some sort of electrical problem with my heart, where when I get super excited, it can't keep up or go down, and it just kind of, it's all over the place. That's the best way to describe it. But they mirror as a heart attack. So it was November of 2020. Right. We're already into a whole thing of being November of 2020. And I was teaching in Texas at the time. OK, so I was teaching in Texas. And listen, I don't going to get into politics, but Texas opened up. Right. They opened up, went right back to school, COVID, whatever your political view. I don't care. I don't do politics. As long as I don't pay $20 for milk. There you go. So anyway, we went back to school and I was teaching online first three. Then I was teaching three in person. Then I was the head freshman football coach. And I was the head wrestling coach, starting a brand new program at a 6A school. It's SAT day. And all of a sudden I'm not feeling right. It's also a football day and I'm not feeling right. And I basically kind of collapsed and I end up in the emergency room and they're telling me I am having what could be a heart attack, until I told them everything that went on. They ran a couple tests and everything. So the story, though, the funniest part about the story is I'm in the emergency room in this residence hospital, a teaching hospital. So there's a young gentleman who doesn't look older than 12. You know, he's 26, doesn't look older than 12. He comes in, says what's going on. All of a sudden, now the cool part about this hospital was, in the emergency room, your room wasn't a curtain. It was actually a door. So you had your privacy. The door flies open. Kevin, when I say flies open, I mean bounces off the wall. And there's my wife in all her Jersey girl glory, just sitting there. And when her hair is bigger, and if you're from the Northeast, the more hairspray in your hair, the more ticked off they're going to be. It's out there, right? So she looks and points right at the doctor, doesn't say a word to anybody. You out. And he goes, ma'am, would you like to hear? Out. He walks out, turns around. It was like a movie. Turns around, looks back in the room, and she just slams the door, like hits, you know, right there in front of him into the nose. She says to me, this is it. This is number three. You're done. You're done. You're not doing this anymore. She goes, you got kids you got to worry about. And I said, you're right. I got 500 kids I got to worry about. And she stopped. And she goes, right away, it clicked on her. We were talking about teaching and coaching. That's what I worry about. Those are my kids. And anybody who's ever been a teacher, they're your kids for the rest of your life. Right. They're not your kids for grade 6. No, they're your kids for the rest of your life, because when you're a teacher, you spend more time with those kids than their own parents. And that's just this how it is. She goes, I mean, you have 5 kids at home. I know that you want to work on these kids. I know you want to be with them. And I only taught at, you know, Title I schools, poverty, inner city. Yep. So, you know, the deal. You know, you're up at night worried about if Johnny's going to eat, if Johnny's going to get home safe, if Johnny's parents are okay, you know, the whole nine. You're up daily worried about that stuff. You know that you might be the only adult figure who's going to say good morning or hello to them or goodbye to them. You might be the only adult figure. So she said to me, you do what you do, but this has got to change. You got to find something else besides teaching and coaching, because it's killing you and we can't have it. So she opens up the door and the doctor's still standing there with this dumbfounded look on his face. She goes, he's good now. Getting a new job. I'm going to get coffee. You want anything? And she walks out. And from that point on, I ended up leaving at Christmas time. This was right before Thanksgiving. I left at Christmas time and I didn't have any position. And then I found this. And I interviewed with a lot of people on a lot of the ed tech stuff, and I'm a sales guy, but you think you're a sales guy because, you know, all Italians, we sell everything, right? We sell whatever you got. What do you need? Watch, toothbrush? I got it, you know? Got a guy. But I found this program, BrightThinker, and it really fit, right? And it fit, and it could help. The teachers were – so I left because of health reasons, right? Now here you are, and the reason I set up the whole 2020 thing is some schools, they had the teacher coming in, and they're like, you figure it out. The kids don't right. have to show up, but you got to teach them, right? And then right. other schools, the kids were coming in, or they were working 100% online. I mean, there was so much chaos going on, and people will remember. If you have children, you will remember the chaos. I remember everyone always used to say, there should be no such thing as homework. You teachers don't do nothing. I remember people bringing gift baskets when the school opened up, parents going, I love you so much. Thank you. You know, like, couldn't do that. So the reason that it's chaotic is because we have our own health, and we are grading papers in our sleep. We're working 7 days a week. We plan our family functions around lesson planning. It's just the life is the school. And unfortunately, admin's starting to change, but you still have some. If you're a great teacher, you're going to get more and more and more and more. And the minute you say no, it's held against you. Now, there's a lot of admin that don't do that. They understand, hey, I'm going to ask. You know, coach does everything I always ask, but once in a while you can't, right? But you get that other teacher who will always say no, and it's kind of just mediocre across the board, but they keep them because they need people. But the ones who are great are the ones that are leaving because they can't take care of themselves. And if you are a miserable teacher, no kid's going to want to learn from you. They want a teacher with a smile. They want a teacher who's happy. They want a teacher who's healthy. And I remember getting emails during 2020 when we were away from kids just going, hey coach, wanted to check on you. Like, dude, that makes you cry. Like, there are so many times when you're a teacher that you want to quit just because these kids are terrible. They're terrible. And then at the end of the class, the worst kid in the class taps you on the shoulder and goes, coach, I was great today. I'm like, you son of a, I was going to quit today. I had it all typed out. I was leaving. And I think that people are just leaving. And the mass exodus is because it's just too much. Sometimes, not all the time. And remember, everybody take this with a grain of salt, what I'm saying. But kids never wrong, right? Never wrong. I know when me and you went to school, you do your work, you do your test, you fail, you stay back. Now it's totally different, right? And I feel since 2020 hit, the kids aren't learning what they're supposed to. I mean, depending on what news channel you watch, reading and writing is down 25 to 35%. And it's all over the place. Our standards are getting lower and lower just so that there's a graduation rate. But the graduation rate, it doesn't matter if they can't read and write or if they can't think for themselves, right? And I think teachers are getting frustrated over that. I know I kind of went in six different directions, but I think that's part of the reason that they're kind of taken off is their hands are tied. It's they can't do what they need to do.
Well, some of what you touched on in the course of sharing, doing whatever it takes, is that you have walked in their shoes. So you fully get it. So when I asked the question about what is it that causes you to be focused on doing whatever it takes to support educators, the thing that drives you to support is you have walked in their shoes. You have total empathy and sympathy because you've been there. You feel their pain. You feel their joy. You feel all of it. I think the other piece, too, is because of that, people are drawn to you, because I think one of the things you realize about the sales side of things, if you will, is it's not about selling. It's about building those relationships, because, and it's trite, but people work with people they like and that they trust and that they enjoy their company and so forth. Those are the people they want to work with. It's almost like the solution is second to that. Now, if it's a great solution that you're bringing to the table, all the better. Right. But and chances are people like yourself or myself or others that are wired to help, we're not going to be attached to a solution that's not worthwhile and helpful anyway. And they know that. And so that kind of opens the door to working with us. Well, speaking of working, you work all over the nation. You know, I think I met you first at a conference in person in Houston. I remember the day that I talked to you. I actually was at Hobby Airport, and there was a delayed flight, and you and I were talking. I vividly remember the very first day that I talked to you. I had my own heart situation, so you and I were able to relate on that in 2020 as well. So we bonded immediately, being Native Northeasterners with heart issues and so forth, and then trying to, you know, just change the world through the work that we do. So speaking of changing the world, we work all over the nation, but a special area of focus for me and you right now is the state of California. So do you mind sharing a little bit about that? Because you've built the business, the work that you're doing there. And I'd like you to share how that's been for you, your strategies, approaches, and what the opportunities are that you see in the Golden Gate State.
Well, the one thing I want to touch back on is that you mentioned about likable, right? People being likable. Yeah. Kids aren't going to learn from a teacher they don't like. When I first started teaching, now I didn't start teaching until I was 38 years old. That's a whole nother story, right? So okay. I didn't start teaching until I was 38. I was coaching since I was 20, but I didn't start teaching until I was 38. And I didn't go to college until I was 33. So that's a whole nother story. But the likable part, I remember when I first started teaching, two pieces of advice I get. Because I started late, they told me, don't substitute. You go into that faculty room, you're done. The misery that's in there, you're done, right? You're done. And number two, there was a teacher who said, you don't smile till after Christmas, right? You remember that? Yep. No, dude, you smile day one and you stay consistent. You give a structure. Kids thrive on that, right? And that's the part about being likable. They know what you're going to get. They know what you're going to get, and that's the key. And so going out to California, and this is what makes it funny, I'm a Jersey guy who, and my claim to fame is I taught at Eastside High, movie Lean on Me, if you ever saw Lean on Me with Joe Clark. I taught there, went to inner city Dallas, taught in Dallas. All right, now, I left Jersey. Last 9 years I've been in Dallas. All my business, most of it, California. So I'm in California. Now, you're talking about three different ways of thinking, right? So come out there and what is it like out there? What are the struggles? What are the things going on? Number one, California has the largest independent study program in the nation, right? Charter schools, independent study, home study, different ways of learning, flex-based learning, all these different things. There's hundreds and hundreds of schools that are catering to a different way of learning. Great. Still learning. Different way of learning, okay? Then you have your public schools, and then you have your private schools because it's California. So you have this melting pot of learning out there. How do you get through? You be yourself, right? You go out there and you start talking to people. I'm the best salesman, and I'm the worst salesman. So I'm the best salesman, just like you. We've walked in their shoes. We know exactly what you need. I'm the worst salesman because it might not be my product and I'm not going to shove my product down your throat. I'm going to guide you in the right direction. Okay. So you tell me. So I was selling science, right? We sell everything, but science, we use science as a perfect example. And someone says, you know, we need kids to go with this, right? We need, but our parents are spending hundreds and going out here. We built a partnership with Home Science Tools and they developed kits to go with our curriculum. So somebody was asking me about it, a competitor, Bookshark. They were asking me about it. And I said, call Scott over at Home Science Tools. He'll work with you. So I'm telling the competitor what they got to do. Why? Maybe mine isn't the right one. Not everybody learns the same. And maybe theirs will be. All I care about is getting these kids to read, write, think for themselves. I have five children of my own, and I know I look like I'm 35, but I got seven.
You grandkids. Do. You do. I was going to say it if you didn't.
Come on. Look yes. at moneymaker right here, right? So I got seven grandkids. So I'm going back into the swing of going into school. And I think that the thing is, like, when you go out into California, you want to be able to help every type of learner. You want to be able to help the parent that wants their kid to go to USC. You want to be able to help the parent that wants their kid to go work in, be an electrician. You want to help the military family, help that student who wants to go there, because college isn't always the answer, right? You want to provide a solid, solid curriculum that gives the students what they want. When a student's smiling, look, not everybody wants to do algebra. They put letters with numbers, I was done, right? But you have to do it. But you now have business math and personal finance and math models and other types of math to go through it. You know your goal in life is to be military. You know your goal in life is to be an electrician. You don't realize that you still need all this stuff. And I think going out in California and letting people know that you're a real person, right? California has this stigma, just like Texas and just like Florida. They're the three states that are people like, they should all be on their own, right? That's what they feel. But California, you know, forget about all the issues they have with money, with politics and everything. They're just like us. They want what's best for their kids, and their kids just want to be happy, have fun, and enjoy what they do. So I think the big thing out there is this flex-based learning. And this charter-based learning is that not a lot of people are grasping onto it. There's a lot of opportunities. Oh, hey, here, you can use our stuff. Are you going out there and showing them how? Are you showing how it's going to be a need and how it's going to help them? There's just all different ways. People are still back learning in print and textbooks and workbooks and people in digital. What's the right fit? And I think that's the key out there with California, that they're giving so many options for students to learn. But just like you know, Kevin, you start something, you really got to try it. You can't just say after 3 days it's not going to work. You got to try it. You got to put your heart into it. Everyone's got to be all in. And I think when you get teachers and parents to do that, I think you're going to get that stuff. And California is the best example because they have the most of different types of learning. Other states do, not as much as out there. Out there is a very unique because you're dealing with the politics, you're dealing with the unions, you're dealing with, you know, homeschools, you're dealing with every type of learning possible in one state. Nobody else has that. So
and it's the most populated state. Yes. So you've got large numbers. You know, they've got this new EL roadmap coming out, making sure that there's a more specific plan embedded in your improvement plan for addressing the needs of English learners, because that's been something that's kind of ebbed and flowed in the state. So be interesting to see how that piece goes forward. You know, probably like you, a lot of that's my background, working with kids for whom English wasn't their first language. So have a passion for, you know, doing whatever we can to help kids be successful. Well, I appreciate all that you shared about that. And just in general, greatest challenges and opportunities for you. So you made the switch from being an educator, coach. Obviously, you made a switch before that, which we'll get into in a sequel or something podcast about why you went to college at 33 and started teaching at 38. So that's for part two. But making the transition from educator to being in, you know, a sales support role, that sort of thing. Challenges, opportunities. How's it been for you? Has your health been better? Talk to us about
it. Yeah. So, you know, people always say sales, you got to hit quotas. I have a quota, but I don't have a quota. In my head, there's no quota. You don't want me to sell for you? I'll go somewhere else. I'll go sell Toyotas down the street. That's fine. That's my philosophy. I'm never going to sell anybody something they don't need. The positive has, I have a vice president. I'm a sales director now, but I still have a territory of five states. I used to do a lot more. I have someone who says, do what you do. That's what he tells me. Do what you do. Whether it's I sell $5,000 to a school or $1 million to a school, whatever it is, it's not about the sale. It's about getting the right stuff in the student's hands. All I ever ask is people, give it a shot. Here's a pilot. Try it, right? We give pilots, and they pay for them because we have to train you to do certain things, but it's very, very little investment. And I like to use the word investment You're investing in your kids. Your school boards are overlooking you, right? Some school boards are great. Some school boards are arguing about red and green, yellow in the cafeteria. You know, we have all that. So what I think the challenge for me was nobody knew who we were. We're competing against the big guys. And I came in there being a teacher, tell part of my story and go, try it. Not everybody learns the same. I'm so tired of them going, well, we invested all our money in product X. Okay, right. And you have 70% passing, 30% failing. Still using product X. I don't want 100% of your product. Give me the 30% that are failing. You have nothing to lose at this point, right? You have nothing. And I think that's the thing. I challenge people. I challenge them. You don't make this change. What's going to happen? You could lose your job. Your kids aren't going to graduate. Your school's going to get a lower rating, right? What's going to happen if you don't make a change? I'm so tired of budgets are a concern. I understand that. But you can't put all your eggs in one basket. We just did a deal with a Department of Corrections. I work with Department of Corrections Education. And the director didn't realize how much she spent with us, and she got a grant. And her words were fantastic to me. She goes, we've never tried your program. And she said, and I'm allocating half of this grant. She goes, I can't do that. We don't know how these guys are learning yet, how these ladies are learning yet. I need to do a piece of it. So she lowered it, still a healthy amount. And I said, absolutely. I was under the impression that this was going to be the solution. And then she explained a little more. Great. Do it that way. And the reason is, one, you're going to help more people. And then by next year, when they realize it works, you're going to get more and more and more. Then they're going to go tell another state, another school, another department, and it's going to spread out and it's going ahead in the right direction. The amount of referrals we're getting now, because they tell people, talk to Coach Joe. He'll point you in the right direction. And Coach Joe won't give you the solution. He'll point you in the right direction. And I think that's something with me and you. I mean, we're both in schools and we both help to make things easier on teachers. We're, as much as we want to sell our product, we want to make sure that we keep people in the classroom. You said about your daughter going back in. My goal in life is to be the 65-year-old wrestling coach sitting in the corner of a 3A school, just going, come on, Johnny, we're wrestling here. Let's get after it, you know? I want to go back. I do. I want to go back. But part of me wants to help fix the problem first. And the problem is the right things aren't there, because too many of these big companies are just worried about their bottom line. And in education, you can't be worried about your bottom line. You have to be worried about the kid. And
you know, that's the challenge. It's funny you're saying that, because when I made the transition, I was not looking to make the transition either. I was at a conference. I worked for Thinking Maps for 17 and a half years, and I met the reps at the booth. It was in Dallas at a big national conference, and we started talking, the rep and I. Well, that conversation went on for 2 hours because I kept asking questions and challenging, and he could come back with an answer to everything I challenged. I thought, man, what a great solution this is. And he said, would you be interested in coming to work for us? And I said, no, I just moved here to Dallas from Houston, started this job. I love what I'm doing. I'm not a salesperson. And 6 months later, I was working for the company, and I was with them for 17 and a half years and started, you know, Texas and then national and doing the whole thing, right? Who would have thunk it? I mean, I never would have thunk it. But I so believed in the solution. And I wanted to, like, you know, I wanted to help fix things. I wanted to help people with the challenges that I was facing, and do it in a broader way. And you're absolutely doing that, Joe. Well, Joe, like I said at the beginning of this, we like to keep our podcasts around 30 minutes or so, and we're coming up to the end of that time frame, but we will revisit this at another time. I want to give you the last word, though. Is there anything else, Joe, about what you're just thinking that I didn't give you a chance to speak to? So
I'm just thinking about a lot of things, you know, because of course I can't just say one thing. So let's go with the first one that's sitting in. We, as parents, friends, grandparents, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, whatever, we all have a responsibility. And the responsibility is we have to be a parent first. We're not a friend. And what I mean by that is I'm tired of people not enforcing education on their student. I want people to help take responsibility for what their kids are doing. And if you don't like the way they're learning at the school, like we mentioned California, there's so many options out there. Let's go and let's be supportive and encourage the kids, because when they get down the road, it's going to be a struggle if they don't have it. So let's get behind education like it was when we were kids. Okay. If they need help, let's get it. Let's push forward. And number two, I'm thinking, I said this to you earlier, so I'm going to say it to you now. You don't get enough credit, because I said to you the first time that we did talk, when you were in the Hobby Airport parking lot and you told your story, I basically kind of probably caught you off guard. But we're the same person. And you went and started doing, I was about 4 months into this position and realized that I can have a greater impact like you have. And you go out there and you talk to people and you do the same thing that I do. Sure, we're about our product, but you were with a company 17 years because you believed in it. You were with another company for many years because you believed in it. And I was there just kind of in the background when you were working to get with this company. And you weren't just taking something to take something. You were taking something because you believed in it. So a lot of us that are in education, you're our trailblazer. And people that are listening need to understand, you've walked the walk, you talked the talk, and you still to this day follow it up. You're at those conferences grinding, man. You call me the road warrior. Heck, we were supposed to do this 5 months ago, but we're always on the road. And the only reason it's happening today is because my flight got canceled. I was actually supposed to be in the middle of Eureka, California, driving to Medford to catch a flight right now, but it got canceled late Sunday night. I was stuck at the airport in Dallas. So I'm just thinking that we need people to grasp on to education, give it a chance, try the different methods, learn, and we need teachers to open up their mouths, talk to their admin, and ask for help. Asking for help is not a problem. Hey, I have 40 kids in this class. We need to do something to balance it. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. I think about a lot of things. Sorry. But just thinking with Kevin.
Love it. Well, told you you get the last word. So you got it, brother. To be continued. Thanks for being part of Just Thinking today, Joe.
Thanks.